Hey guys, this is Lee with the Brew, Drink, Run podcast. Quick programming note before we jump into this week's episode. We had some microphone problems between 12 and a half minutes to 15 minutes in. So about 2.5 minutes in there where my mic cuts in and out a bit. I adjusted the levels, but it does get kind of noisy. So if you're sensitive to that sort of thing, just know the rest of the podcast after 15 minutes or so is our normal quality like it is, for whatever that's worth. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Brew, Drink, Run podcast, brought to you by the only website that promotes brewing your own beer, consuming the best craft beers in the world, and then running off the calories, brewdrinkrun.com.
What's up, brewers, drinkers, and or runners? Welcome to episode 172 of the Brew, Drink, Run podcast. My name is Lee.
This is Keith.
I'm Raymond.
What's up, guys? It's good to see everybody.
Nice to see you again.
Always a pleasure.
Oh, it's been so long. If you like the show, don't forget to rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you grab your podcast, and write a short review. Your ratings and reviews help more people to find out about us. You can also just tell a friend the old-fashioned way by posting about the show on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. If you do any of that, be sure to tag us at Brew, Drink, Run. This week, we're definitely going to talk about beer and who knows what else. We do start every episode with a beer. Keith, tell us what you're holding in your hand over there.
I have a collaboration brew here between Blackberry Farm Brewery and Full Steam. This is the Daily Meal. It is a farmhouse ale made with North Carolina and Tennessee Mountain Honey, so relative to both of the brewery's locations. So there you have it. It is 6.3%, so reasonable. And there you have it. There's some more information on the back here, but I haven't taken the time to read it yet. So so we can if I find anything pertinent, I'll break in here and let you all know what it says.
All right. Well, hold the bottle up a little bit so Raymond can see what that label art is like. If you were to come up across this large format corked and caged bottle on the shelves, what would speak to you about this label here, Raymond?
Oh, okay. First thing, the Daily Meal. We got to explain that Daily Meal. It's in the meal is M-I-E. The French word for
honey.
So lots of bee iconography on here. You got an old school hive and honeycomb kind of looking thing with bees. Nice linear drawing, very straightforward, cool looking drawing. Very reminiscent of Full Stream's labels, I think. Yeah.
Well, it reminded, I guess, you know, I haven't seen a lot of theirs. They're not distributed here. Yep. We do get some Blackberry Farm stuff on occasion. And the label for me, maybe it was the papery texture or maybe that kind of simple aesthetic. It reminded me of some of the Blackberry Farm stuff as well. So maybe that really is a nice crossover. There definitely seems to be more going on here than the typical Blackberry Farm label.
Yeah. And Full Steam, too. Both of those are very farm or oriented beers. Full Steam does a lot of farm to brewery stuff. Mm. And I mean, that's pretty much what Blackberry Farms is all about, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know as much about Full Steam, but yeah, Blackberry Farm for sure. That's kind of what they do. They have a whole kind of farm experience where they have a hotel, then they have wellness classes and do all this other stuff.
Yeah, they've been doing like all of that since like 76 or something. I mean, my whole life, literally, yeah. You know, is kind of, you know, I think I was 2 when they started opening the doors to people to come in, but the brewery opened in, I'll say 2000. Well, I think they were making beer, you know, in 2000, mid 2000s, like 2010, 11, somewhere like that. But it was just local, you know. Yeah. They just did for the restaurants on the property, and then but then they got a bigger production facility. So and actually, I think we see a good bit of their beer down here. The distribution, they seem to get a good bit out. It's not everything, but when you're talking about
seasonal,
right? But when you're talking about big bottle format stuff, you know, you can only sell so much of that in so many places anyways, especially if it's on a more limited run. So it makes sense, you know.
And it's not a cheap bottle either, from what I remember. It's a fairly
I'm not surprised. Yeah, they tend to be on the higher end of, I think, of the 750 format. I don't think I've ever seen anything yet that's, you know, in that $20-$25 range, but I think they do go up as, you know, into the high teens. Yeah.
All right, so we have poured into Belgian glasses this beer, and we all kind of made some faces and said some things under our breath when it was poured, mm-hmm. because this beer has a very distinct look.
Yes, it is. It's kind of got a doo-doo brown kind of color to it.
It's not pretty.
It's not a pretty beer. It's kind of almost like liquid Tootsie Roll brown, and it's real murky, and I got a little greedy at the end of the bottle, and I got a bunch of yeast and junk in my glass, and I just didn't pull up fast enough, and I got the junk in the bottom of my glass. So
that's what she said.
So, that's pretty much true. Yeah. So it's not the best looking beer, and that's not always necessarily an indicator of how good a beer is going to be. But yeah, this is one kind of dank and ugly looking beer.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I mean, I'm sure it's just the product of the ingredients, and it is what it is, and the process that it went through. But this is not making me super psyched to drink it. I think a lot of, you know, your connotations when you think about this, you know, saisons, or, you know, especially when you're with something heavy and honey, which is actually probably exactly why it looks the way it does. Yep. But your head goes to that kind of golden, you know, bright, like the honey you squeeze from a bear.
Yeah.
Like that kind of honey. This looks nothing at all like that. It really is just kind of muddy water.
If they used a darker honey, that could have really kind of messed with the I can't imagine they would pick malts to make it look like this. So I would have to guess that the honey additions, or the combination of the honeys, created this sort of extra color dimension. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Well, one of the brewing items here is spelt, which isn't that like a rough grain? I mean, and then aged noble hops. I don't know that I've ever seen an aged hop mentioned.
Well, I mean, I guess if you want like a cheese, Parmesan-y cheese thing going on.
Is this a cleaning out their closet kind of thing? Like, let's have a neighborhood yard sale. Yeah. Everybody bring something to it.
Maybe.
Wherever we're at. That's an interesting, okay. I don't know if I'm glad to know that or not.
Well, collaborations, I'll tell you. I think a lot of times they're kind of thrown together with Well, it looks like Blackberry Farm on the label, so I'm going to guess that Blackberry Farm is the main brewery. Actually, it does say a Blackberry Farm production, which is what they put at the top
and
of their labels.
All the information on here is mostly Blackberry Farm.
So a lot of times, you show up and then you just kind of figure it out as you go. Well, what did you bring? What do you have? Well, we'll bring some hops and some honey. All right, and so then you start the day and you start winging it, you know, with what you got around. So that might be what happened here. They said, "Oh, how about a little of this, and how about a little of that?" And
they both use their own house yeast strains. So there's two yeasts in here.
All right.
Raymond, tell me what you get on the nose of this beer. What's your aroma sensation here?
The sweets in there for sure. I get kind of a fruitiness to it, like a prune or a little bit of cherry, kind of a dark fruits in there.
Relatively mild overall. I mean, there's it's not like it's a super intense aroma package, but there is something maybe a little bit kind of stale-ish in it too, and maybe that's just the overall mutedness of it.
I feel like it's got a pretty potent aroma for what it has. I just don't know that there's a lot of complexity to it. There's not a lot of like different notes that are being hit. I mean, I get kind of like almost like a cola fruit kind of thing that going on the nose. There does seem to be some honey left behind, which is, you know, I'm not sure how far. Usually honey is eaten up. It's a sugar that the yeast should eat fairly well. And so maybe this didn't attenuate down maybe quite as far as they want. Because if you're still getting some of that honey aroma and maybe in the taste, I haven't tried it yet, then you might not have, you know, yeast might have stalled out a little bit.
It's only 6.5% or so, too. I mean, so depending on how much they put in, they may have forced the fermentation to stop in order to leave some of that in there. But I have tasted it. There is a lot of dryness in this beer, which is one of the side effects from the honey attenuation, typically. That's one of the things that you can attribute to that. So there is that distinct dryness to the end of it. There is some of this kind of dark fruity
thing. Yeah, I get that kind of up front. And then it really kind of dries
lively
out.
Carbonation.
Yeah. The carbonation isn't, which is kind of surprising a little bit, because I mean the head foamed up real well. The cork came out with a pretty loud pop, but it is a fairly, it's not this big champagne-y, super carbonated tingly feel, but it is. I think it's well carbonated.
Yeah,
I mean, it's done. Yeah. Assuming it's bottle conditioned, it's done very well, and I do think that Blackberry Farm does bottle condition their product that they make there. So I think that really hit the mark. I don't know how old this is. That's kind of an interesting question, too.
Any date on the bottle there?
Sometimes they stamp on the neck. It's in black. I've seen it before, I think, with their stuff. But it's kind of hard to find.
I wouldn't be surprised if this was a little older.
Yeah.
Because it was kind of like at the end of an end cap. And,
right.
I don't see anything.
It was not dusty. But, you know, the place I picked it up does a pretty good job. Oh, did you find it?
It's a broken date.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Still trying to.
In any case, we'll try and figure out what that says. But it's this is one of those things where I kind of like it, but I think if it would, I think I would justify this based on cost.
2016.
So
okay.
All right. Let me see if I can figure something out.
We could also probably just look on the internet and see what it was reviewed on.
They have its own specific website.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm going to say it's 2016. It is pretty worn off, and then it says 06, and then it looks like the start of another number. So I'm going to guess that
it was maybe a full year old.
June. This is a year, probably a year old bottle of beer.
Not out of the question. Not surprising.
So given that fact, not knowing what it tasted like originally, I'd say it's holding up fairly well. It's fairly enjoyable. It's not, again, complexity is not, I think, a feature of this beer. It's got kind of some sweet, some dry, some fruity. You know, if I spent a ton of money on this beer, I think I'd be like, if it was $7-$8. Yeah, I think it's totally fine purchase.
Yeah, I think it's not really what I was expecting.
You know, I think the kind of honey and the saison and the brewery's pedigree that are coming together on this, I probably wanted something different. Now, what I have does have things that I like. And
sure, yeah.
I'm not sure if it's all in the right kind of proportion to each other.
Right.
I think that I actually might like this a little bit more still, so I'm going to let it sit for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Give us some of the carbonation dies down, because it does have some elements of some of like the honey wheat wines that I like. It really does.
Yeah. The aroma got me on that. I think that there's definitely a little bit of a wheat wine thing going on in the aroma. I like the aroma a little more than the taste. Mm-hmm. At this point is kind of where I'm at. But I don't dislike this beer at all. I think it's pretty good.
Well, when we aren't
drinking beer, we are trying to make our own. And the public really wants an update on Raymond's brew house that he's building. His brew house is how many thousand square feet is it?
It's 12 by 20 feet.
Okay. 12,000 by 20,000 feet. Wow, that's impressive.
I have overestimated the size of your brew house. But it is
that
solely
doesn't include the external space that I can spill out into.
But it is solely dedicated to brewing.
Yes,
it is going
totally.
To be.
It has nothing to do with my real job.
There is going to be the kettles, the bright tanks. You're going to have a little tasting area. The Georgia laws are changing, so you can just have people come out and buy a pint.
Yep.
So you got that going on. I'm really excited. And that'll be Chroma beer. Is that the name?
That's what it was. I don't like that name anymore, though.
All right. Start fresh. New brewery. New brewery, new name.
All right. So what is your new line going to be called?
I don't know. Yeah.
Think about it. You got to the end of this podcast. Let's go. Chop, chop.
Let people know at the end of this podcast. I have not brewed anything. Let's talk about Key Stage.
Over at Service Brewing. Service just released their double IPA, which is their seasonal. Is Battle Wagon
technically a seasonal or
it's a,
no?
It's a rotating offering. We get it hopefully quarterly into the mix. Just depends on demand and what we have to be brewing. But we did get another batch of that going, and we canned that for the first time. Yep. So she will be available in six packs across our distribution footprint. So you should
really
be able to
striking
find that.
Cans. The new kind of Service can branding campaign has been going on a couple of cans in at this point. And this one is really neat. It's based on like a World War I camouflage.
Yeah,
like
it's, it's called Dazzle Camo. Yeah. So the beer is named Battle Wagon after military, you know, ships. So they would paint the ships with this kind of strange line, really bright camo, and it was said to distract whoever was out on the enemy from knowing which direction you were coming. Because you couldn't tell, because it just disoriented the eye with the waves and the sun and everything. So that was the idea behind it. And it is really interesting. You can look up, you know, get on the internet and Google it, and there's tons of images, and they just literally painted these things just all crazy with these lines, and it's all disjointed. There's no real pattern to it, so it sort of is supposed to, you know, mimic the waves and make you not know which way the ship's coming.
So it makes for a really striking can, and that's really going to pop on shelves. I mean,
you guys weren't worried about people not finding it on the shelves?
That's what I was one of the first things I said when we saw them rolling off. I said, no one can complain they can't find this at the store. So it is very bold and very colorful. So nice greens and bright blacks and whites and purple and stuff. Yeah. So
it's a really striking can. So Service a couple weeks ago had their release party for it. Well attended as always. Fun nice times there. So it was a nice get a chance to catch up with everybody at Service and enjoy the beer. One of the things that I thought was really interesting there, with pretty common when you go to a brewery, is you have the chance to try variants of different beers. Mm-hmm. And a couple of variants in casks were there, one of which was the Savannah Bananas beer, which is an American pale ale with bananas added.
It's a Belgian pale ale. Yeah, okay. I mean, basically. So, yeah.
But there was a cask with what, chocolate and peanut butter in it?
Yeah, we put that kind of PB2. So they have a chocolate version of that, and mm-hmm. we just sort of just dose that as a refill in the cask with the powder, and so it ended up giving it really a peanut butter banana flavor. The chocolate, I don't feel like came out too much in that. I think we could have gone with just the regular peanut butter version, but you know, the idea was a, you know, peanut butter banana sandwich, or, you know, adding the chocolate in there was fun too. So,
and the other was the Battle Wagon with juniper.
Yeah, juniper berries.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That was super tasty. I liked that little bit of variance, especially in the aroma.
Yeah, the aroma. Yeah, I was really impressed with the. I mean, I'm not sure I'd want to do that all the time, kind of thing. But I thought it was real fun to see the smell, the difference. I thought that the taste was altered slightly, but being a big double IPA with as much hops as in that, it's not really going to affect it too much. But the juniper berries did just add this sort of extra layer of kind of earthy pine that you don't always get in the aroma on Battle Wagon. So I thought it was fun. I thought they were both pretty well done casks.
So be on the lookout for that. Services distribution area is, of course, throughout Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina. Yep. Ask your local retailers.
Well, you can also look into a website called Tavor. Mm-hmm. We sent 50 cases out to them. They distribute, basically you can order online through them. It depends on where they service. I'm not sure. I think it's mostly out on the West Coast. Deliver to, but I think there are a handful of East Coast states that also get some of those things. I haven't actually looked too much into the website, but it's I think it's similar to some of these Kickstarter-y type things. If you sell enough of it, they send them out, kind of thing. But stuff goes really quick as soon as it hits. They usually, I know we sent some sent the old, our old guard, our spring seasonal out there, and it was gone almost instantly. You know, people were, so it gives people a chance who's not in our distribution network, if you're able to purchase through them, chance to try it.
T-O-V-O-R-E.
T-A-V-O-U-R, I think. Man, Tavor. I believe. I don't have it in front of me, but I'm pretty sure that's it. So.
All right, cool. Raymond, how's your running going? What you doing these days? Biking?
No, swimming? Not biking. Actually going on a really long hike this coming week.
Yeah.
Up in the mountains in South Carolina. Going to hit about 50 miles over 4 days. So that's going to be kind of a fun thing. I'm a little worried about my back, but carrying all my stuff. But otherwise, I think it's going to be a pretty exciting trip.
Is it part of the? Is it part of an existing trail system, or is it, like a? Or is it just real like backcountry, or what is the?
It's part of a system. There's a I forget the name of the trail. I'm sorry, but it's an existing trail. It's been around forever. It's not part of the AT or anything. It doesn't run through South Carolina. Yeah, it does.
Just a tiny little bit. I think. Yeah,
It's not part of that, but associated with not a national park, but I don't know. I forget. I don't know. Somebody else is organizing this. And
cool story, bro.
That'd be great. I'm just going to be hiking his stuff. My back. I'm worried about my back.
It's a Boy Scout trip. You're going with your son some of his. Yeah. And it's one of the deals where you hike with all your gear and you set up camp every night and do that.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Got some interesting things. We're going to do a first time I've done this, but we're going to sleep in hammocks.
Yeah.
So we're not carrying tents.
Smart.
A lot of weight there. So we're doing hammocks and drinking out of the river. So using a filtration system for the first time, which I'm also a little weird about. But then we're going to end the trip with a nice whitewater raft trip. So it's going to be an exciting little week.
That'll be fun, and you'll get your exercise in for sure on those long days with the pack on and everything else. I have been, I'm trying to get back into running shape, so I've been doing some longer walks and mixing in some runs in with it. So it's one of those things that's just, I think, because it's summer and it's hot, it's a bad time to try to get back into it. So it really is like 6 a.m. You've got to get out and do it, or else it's far too hot.
On the other end of the spectrum is if you can start getting into it now, when you actually hit your stride, the weather is going to be cooler and it will feel so much better. I mean, there is sort of a, you can look at it in that perspective of make it hard on yourself now when you aren't going to really be stressing yourself as much. You're just getting slowly back into running shape. So maybe it'll work out for you.
Well, I'm a glass half empty kind of guy, so there's that. But instead of running or anything else, I might as well be reading a little something.
And what about reading? There's a leisure time activity that will help you learn things you'd like to know about many subjects.
Raymond's Book Corner.
Raymond's Book Corner is when Raymond is helpful and happy enough to share the books that are really bringing a little bit of joy to his life. You know, sometimes it's audiobooks from Audible. You can go to audibletrial.com/brewdrinkrun. Sometimes it's a real physical book that he might get at Amazon, and you could find a link for those books over at brewdrinkrun.com. But I'm excited to find out what Raymond's Book Corner pick is this week. What have you got for us?
All right. This is a book that I listened to a while back, and I disliked it so much that I decided not to talk about it.
Yep.
But it's gotten so much press lately that I figured it was time.
Okay.
And that's 13 Reasons Why. It's getting all the press because they made it into a TV show. I think it's a terrible book. Never liked it. I was angry after I listened to it. I just thought it was a terrible, terrible story. So I can't believe they made it into a TV show. And
So why don't you like it? I remember hearing some things about the show being a little bit divisive too. And there's some people who were very big fans of it, and there were some people who weren't. I think it did not get picked up for a second season. Is that right? It seems like it was again in the news again.
It would be hard for it to be a
because of the content.
It wraps
of it
up really. Yeah.
Well, I guess they could expand. You know, you introduce different. You know, like they could expand the universe with different characters or different whatever.
Well, the whole thing's about this. This guy gets a cassette tape. I don't know how they did it in the TV show, but in the movie, he gets a cassette tape, and it's made by a girl who he had a crush on who has committed suicide.
Right.
And so it's all the, it's 13 reasons why she ultimately commits suicide.
And the 13 reasons are 13 songs?
They're actually 13 people.
Ah.
So they're 13 people and he has to like kind of live through the 13. And he's one of them, although there's a weird part in his story. But the other 12 are all these people that he interacts with on a daily basis. And he kind of learns about their backstories and them a little bit while also learning why they were a reason why this girl killed herself.
So to not listen to 13 Reasons Why, I'll have a book that if you like travel writing, and I do, I really enjoy nonfiction first-person accounts of different types of travel, especially in weird places. I just wrapped up reading The Last Train to Zona Verde, a book about a first-person travel account about an author who went to South Africa and then journeyed up Africa's west coast into Angola. And someone who had spent a large chunk of his life in Africa teaching, this wasn't like some brand new thing for him to be there, but he is in his early mid-70s and is doing this by himself all over land.
Whoa.
And just about how much and how little parts of the continent have changed in his history of being there. And Angola being a country that is very cut off from the West and they don't allow press in, and it's very difficult to get in. So if you're interested in that kind of first-person adventure travel narrative, I'll recommend Last Train to Zona Verde. You can go to audibletrial.com/brewdrinkrun and get a free audiobook, or go to brewdrinkrun.com, click on the show notes for this episode, and then click on the link to buy it at Amazon. We'll be right back. All right. We're back. Keith has got a new beer for us.
Yes.
This is going to be our grand tasting this episode. And this was something you were able to pick up at the source, right?
Yes. A couple of weeks ago, we went up to Revelry as a group from Service Brewing. So we did a collaboration beer up there with them. And as a part of that was lots of drinking and sampling and visiting their various facilities and whatnot. And So I was handed this bottle of beer on the way out, and I appreciated it. And as soon as I looked at what it said, I knew I had to come share it with you guys. I may very well regret this, but...
can I hit the music real quick before you tell me what it is?
Sure. All right.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Welcome to the Uncle Owen and Craft Brew Podcast.
All right, we're back. Welcome to the Uncle Owen and Craft Brew Podcast.
All right.
Tell us what we got, Keith.
All right. I don't even know. What happened there? We don't have our headphones on. What just happened?
I played the intro music to the Uncle Owen and Craft Brew Podcast.
Oh, okay.
The podcast that Keith has never been on before.
Oh, yeah.
Until now.
Yes. So what we have here is Revelry's Red 5 Standing By. This is a Flanders-style red ale that they aged. Well, here, I'm going to read the back of it, which is in the perfect... going away from you script that you would find at the intro of any Star Wars film.
The crawl, we call
it. The crawl.
In the biz.
Sure. Red 5 Standing By is a Flanders-style ale aged in French oak foeders for 8 months. Red 5. Oh, that's a 5. There you go. Pours a reddish brown with aromas of oak, soft, blah, 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 blah. We'll determine what this tastes like and smells like. Thank you very much. Red 5 has been standing by with us for a while now, and it's time to be enjoyed. So the artwork is a lawsuit waiting to happen.
Oh, man.
Which it's they great, though. Which they know, and you know, they definitely pointed out that they're looking forward to the cease and desist order letter any day now. So it looks like they've had this out for a little while, and they might have bottled it not too long before we got up there. They actually, when we were up there, were releasing a different beer called Future Cougar that had come out. So, but I did see this in the cooler available for sale, so it obviously had come out. So this is their take on a Flanders Red. We'll let Raymond lovingly describe the label here. And Raymond, not Raymond, Lee hasn't even finished his first beer yet, so nope. I'm not sure if... if he's going to go ahead and rinse that glass out, or if he wants to just do a
mix. Oh, I am. I want to listen to this part.
Okay.
All
right. Here we go.
Okay. Okay. So we've got, it looks like the upper half of the face of Red 5, who was one of the team that attacked the Death Star in the Star Wars movie. There's like a planet in the back, couple of planets in the background, hand drawn. I'm very impressed. The only difference here is that instead of the rebel signal symbol, there's I guess it's the revelry symbol, and it says Revelry Brewing. And I'm sure that they are eager to get their cease and desist letter from LucasArts and frame it and put it in on the wall, which is exactly what I would do.
Well, we may remember that the Red 5 call sign was used by Pedron Gall during the battle over Scarif, and so for World 1.
Oh, this is true. This is true.
Gall, who would be killed in the battle, leaving the call sign open for Luke Skywalker. So there we go. I love the illustration. This reminds me of some of the Against the Grain illustration, just kind of the sketchy, yeah. You know, and there's a real point of view with it. Like, it's not very glamorous. Like, it's there's a real attempt to have it purposefully a little bit loose and edgy, yeah, and that sort of thing. I like this bottle a lot.
I do have a little footer in down here. Okay. It looks like a little spaceship. They put little little things on it, like it's taken off from the bottom corner there. So
I did see this bottle when I was traveling recently. I saw it at Greens up in South Carolina. I did not buy it for me. I bought it for a gift for somebody else. So I'm super excited to try it because it's a style that I like, but I don't often buy because typically at home I'm drinking by myself.
Right.
And so this is something, while a style that I like, it's not a style that I would necessarily want to drink a lot of in one sitting. Mm-hmm. So I'll be right back. You guys talk.
All right. Yeah, I really like the Flanders Red and the Flanders, you know, Oud Bruins and those kinds of mm-hmm. kind of malty, tart, sweet Belgian beers. I'm really a pretty big fan of them. But again, I like Lee, don't buy them very often. It's just a matter of how often do I really want to, you know, engage in that. And it is really an engagement. You have to go kind of get into it. And so I was excited to try this, and I was excited that the artwork made me have to try it with you guys, which means I'd get to share it with everybody. So so everything works out really well. So as for the other information on this, it looks like it's 7.5% ABV. And I don't think there's anything else too pertinent on there. I think we got the most of this you know, out of the information on the back of the thing.
Star Wars beers, not a new thing. There have been a number of breweries over the years who have incorporated different aspects of the Star Wars mythology into their product. The first one I remember was the Imperial Stout Trooper, which is what, New mm-hmm. England Brewing?
Yes, New England Brewing Company.
Who and did? They can't do that anymore, right?
No.
They got their...
Well, they did the Imposter, what do they call it? Yeah. That has he is wearing Groucho Marx glasses now.
And we had that on the podcast, yeah?
Yes, we did. We had there's many a Stormtrooper out on the table, toys and such. So
that's right. We're missing our photo ops. Go get your X-Wing pilot, Raymond.
Oh,
no. He's got to be right in the other room, right? Anywho. But I feel like they did a nice job with this. I think even Coastal Empire here in Savannah did a one-off beer they called C-3PO that was, you know, had something to do with the three Calypso Centennial. Okay. They'd used maybe Citra hops, but it was like three C hops, I think, that they did. But I think that was just a one-off. But that's definitely a lawsuit waiting to happen. Boy, your phone.
I just literally like activated this new phone, and I cannot figure out how to make the camera not like make that sound. There's obviously a setting in here somewhere, but it is turned up all the way. It's on silent, and the volumes are all the way down. And every time I hit the take a picture button, I get this huge loud camera sound. So.
Chink.
I'm going to have to figure that out at some point, clearly. But yeah, so yes, keep talking about Star Wars things, you nerd.
Yeah, one of my favorite new Instagram accounts, newer, is A New Hop. Be sure to give them a follow okay. because it's all Star Wars toys and beers.
A New Hop, okay, very good.
And they try to kind of theme them together. So they'll have, you know, a golden ale with a C-3PO, and they'll have, you know, they'll kind of try to get witty with them, which is kind of yeah. fun. Trying to figure out what the correlation is
right.
between X figure and X beer is sometimes kind of fun way to fun thing to do.
Well, it kind of makes me think of that. I think Instagram. There's the Why the Long Play Face, who does a lot of the album mashups. Covers with Star Wars is clearly one of his favorites. So, yeah. So that you know that idea of, and it always tries to kind of make sense. I feel like he tries to correlate the characters' personalities with the albums. Mm-hmm. It's not just a literal like, let me just jam this face on this thing because it would look right. I feel like he tries to at least mix up, you know, the essence of the album or that kind of thing. So,
favorite of those is Pink Floyd's "Wish You Were Here," which was, you know, of course you've got the name of that, but
right.
it's Leia putting the data into
right.
R2.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
Very cute.
Very well done, and yeah. it's. It mashes up really well. I mean, visually it works, but yes, it's like Wish You Were Here.
Layers on layers.
Makes sense. So,
speaking of layers on layers, we have poured this into glasses now, and this looks like a traditional Flanders to me.
It does. It's maybe a little more orange than maybe the reddish color, or at least mine is. I did get the last of the bottle, so I think it's a little bit hazier maybe. I'm holding up Raymond's, and it looks a little bit more clearer, like natural cherry red, whereas I think mine has a little bit more yeast sediment, so it's a little more orange. But yeah, it's pretty typical for the style. I think it looks pretty good. Raymond, you're the expert. What do you think?
You're the expert on what beer styles and what color.
Well, I mean,
be.
You know.
It looks really good.
All right. Our expert says it looks really good.
Aroma, you get that, as expected, that a really strong, sharp, tart
yep.
cherry.
I mean, it is very much that what you, you know, I think when you're dealing with not a traditional brewery doing this that has done it for years and years,
really
you're like, what are you going to get? Are you going to get a traditional Flanders red? Are you going to get some variation on that, which might be enjoyable, but not necessarily a traditional take on that? I feel like the aroma is pretty much spot on. It's got that intense sourness, touch of vinegar, a little bit of sweetness going on in there, a little bit of fruit sweetness, and that's exactly what I'm looking for in this style of beer.
Yeah, a candy, like a candy necklace yeah. a little bit too, that kind of just straight up sugar in it just a little bit.
Yeah, that's really...
It's very specific. Mm.
Mm. That's what I'm painting pictures in your mind right now, because it's the art of the medium. It's... flavor.
Yeah, it's there. It's definitely tart. Got that kind of sweet tarty candy.
Maybe not as fruity as some
others that I've had where have a like a specific kind of, you know, cherry sweetness to it, but that is excellent.
Like it's a great mix. You said, it may not be, if we were drinking this side by side with one of the touchstones of the genre,
like a Rodenbach or something like that, yeah.
then I may be like, well, it's not as sour, or maybe it's not this or that. But I like this a lot for what it is, and I feel like it's close enough that I'm not, and my hackles aren't raised, and I like what the end product is.
Absolutely. That's kind of the way I'd put it, too, is, I mean, if you were to slap a different label on this and say, oh, this came from some small unknown brewery in Belgium who's been doing this for a while, you go, oh, wow, this is great. You know, and the fact that it's made in, you know, Charleston, South Carolina, mm-hmm. it's no different. I mean, it's got those nice kind of oak wood tones going on in it. It's this very subtle. It's got a lot of that kind of acidic sourness that you might expect, but it's not overpowering. It's still somewhat drinkable. I wouldn't necessarily go as far as to call it approachable. Mm-hmm. So if you've never really had a sour beer, this is going to like knock knock your face back a little bit, but right. but it's not like peeling the enamel off my teeth either.
No.
You know what I mean? So
and we've had some of those. Yeah.
So I mean, I think it's got that. It's got that element down right. It's got just a, like again that kind of vinegary sourness is typical for this style, and but it doesn't have quite the fruit sweetness that you maybe get or some the sugary sweetness. There's a definite sweetness to like a Flanders that is pretty typical, but still, that's not a complaint. I mean, I like a big bold sour, and this one is without being so bold that it's like all like stomach problems and you know and that kind of thing. It's not burning on the way down. So
yeah, I don't think any of us are like going to risk our health with this beer today.
I like the carbonation in this one too. It carries that tartness very well.
Yeah, 100%. it's really well done. I'm really impressed.
And I do think it is like just for me anyway the right mix of these flavors. I feel like they could go lots of different ways with this, and yeah. ones that maybe are more traditional are more astringent or you know that sort sure. of thing. But gosh, if I was going to like redesign it or to play up the parts of it that I like the most, this is what I would do.
Yeah, this is good. I'm glad. I was a little bit worried. You know, I had such a good time up there, and everyone was so nice. And when you bring something blind in that you haven't had, and you definitely respect the people, you know, I mean, I don't know that they'll hear this, but if they come across it, I would hate to have to sit here and have everyone be like, oh, well, this isn't very good at all. So I came with a little, you know, little trepidation of bringing this over because, you know, I really, really liked those guys a lot. And we had a great time and they were so nice and respectful to us. I want to do the same thing. But I've always liked their beers, the ones that I've had. So I was confident this would also be good. I'm glad it's living up to everyone's expectations at this point, because that's a relief that I would hate to be like, you know, having negative things to say when you like someone so much.
No, this is really good. And the fact that you've had a good relationship with the folks at the brewery is even better, honestly. I mean, I think that makes it even sweeter. And like you said, you don't have to like wave it away. Be like, no, yeah. seriously, like the beer.
Yeah, stuff. Exactly. Yeah.
Keep doing that. Raymond, is this style going out to pick up a Flanders Red? I mean, is that... if it's a Rodenbach or if it's an old Bruin, like you're saying, is that something that you pick up just to have on hand as table beer for certain people? Or is it really something that you just end up kind of walking into sometimes? And yeah, what's your
for
relationship?
For me, I tend to walk into them. Although I like you guys, I don't go into the store looking for something like this. I thoroughly enjoy drinking them whenever I pick them up. I will say it's something that I tend to order in their restaurant or at a bar more than I when I are picking it up at a store.
I mean, I can kind of see that. You're basically like not wanting to commit to drinking, you know, 750 milliliters maybe by yourself. This is the kind of thing I would maybe share with my wife, because I know she likes kind of sour, tart beers and that kind of thing. I also don't buy them as much. I think that that's just, there's so much out there, you know, it's hard to really, I don't browse those international sections as much as I should.
Right. And
a lot of them, that's where they are. In this case, in all honesty, if it wasn't this label, I might not have been so, I mean, I was planning to buy a bottle of it before I left, because I was like, okay, well, this is something I gotta share with these guys, because you know of the theme of the label and where they came up with the story for the name of the beer. So I was kind of, you know, I was like, oh, this is really exciting. It was really nice to, you know, be handed one, which is generous. And but it is something, if I saw it in the store, that would maybe incline me, you know, give me the inclination to go, oh, maybe I should pick that up because it looks fun and I do really like that style. But for an everyday drinking experience, this is just not an everyday drinking beer. So yeah. When you're going to the store on a fairly regular routine, it's just a matter of kind of bumping into it and going, oh, you know what? I haven't had that kind of thing in a while. It's sort of like, I think I put lambics in the same category.
Agreed.
I mean, they can be really kind of sweet and fruity, and all, as much as they're enjoyable, how often am I personally, and it's not very often, looking for that kind of thing? I think there are people who have the other, they maybe pick up those kinds of things like we pick up, you know, Imperial Stouts and Bourbon Barrel Aged Stouts and double IPAs and those kinds of things. I think they're craft beer or beer drinkers who do the same thing. They're picking up those, and then every now and then they're like, oh, you know, I should probably go find a nice big stout to share with some friends every now and then. And then they kind of come across something. So
I think the one thing that may have made this different for me, I mean, of course, the fact that the label is there, I was very excited to see this, and I was going to buy bottles of it, even, like I said, even if they weren't for me, I was going to buy them, because I knew that there would be other people that were interested in them. But the one thing that tweaked my interest even more, it was that it was a local brewery doing this style.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And I think here in Savannah, if any of our local breweries decide to do this, I would go buy it just out of morbid curiosity. like, what is this going to be? And I think that, again, makes it just that a little bit sweeter and a little more interesting that it's a brewery in the South who is trying to make this style. And I think did a very admirable job.
I think they did too. I mean, like I said before, I mean, I can pinpoint some really specific saying, oh, well, this isn't quite to style description or something like that. But then at some point you just kind of go, now that that's out of the way, this is really tasty. I really like it and I'm enjoying it a lot.
All right, let's get another opinion from the internet.
To beer or not to beer, it's time for Beer Review Theater.
You guys, there are like no reviews for this beer out there. There's only one on Beer Advocate for this beer and no written review. I mean, there's not a lot out there about it. So instead of looking for a review of Red 5 Standing By, I thought it'd be more apropos maybe. We just can turn to the experts of Rotten Tomatoes and for a review of Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. Now, Raymond, I know that you saw Rogue One.
Yep.
You enjoyed it.
Thoroughly.
It had its problems. I think we can all agree that they were maybe trying, you know, when you have to shoehorn itself into continuity and you don't have a whole lot of time to build up interest in these characters, you kind of know what the end game is. Keith, I don't know that I've talked to you about Rogue One. Did you see it?
I did see Rogue One.
What did you think about it?
I thought it was fine. I kind of knew what the back. I don't get into it like you guys do. But I've seen all the movies. I enjoy the storyline. It's always been enjoyable. There are times that when the first three episodes came out, I had friends who were super excited, so I went to the midnight showings with them, and it was a blast. Yeah. I wasn't going to dress up. I don't know all the details of all the backstories of all the people.
I could totally see you dressed up as Padme.
So, I'd look good. So it's one of those things where, I enjoy it. So I went into this and I knew a little bit about the, I don't want to know anything, which is what my wife did. She's like, I don't want to know anything about it. And I was like, well, I know this is not really part of the storyline. It's a kind of offshoot story. Sorry if someone hasn't seen it somehow.
This is our spoiler-filled review.
Yeah, exactly. I did enjoy the movie. I thought it was an enjoyable film. I liked, it was nice that things kind of came together at the end. There was some characters and some story plots that I think if I was a more in-tune Star Wars nerd, I would have gotten. But it was certainly an enjoyable kind of side trip into the story of Star Wars.
Well, David Sexton from the London Evening Standard did not agree with us on our assessment of this movie. Now, I'll have to say he was in the minority. This is currently an 85% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes, which is really high for a genre film of any sort, where I think people are just going to be predisposed not to like it for a number of reasons. But David Sexton had this to say: not just a dull, but an oppressive experience, being force-fed a corporate product. A film that never comes alive, with none of the characters properly developed, none of the relationships gelling, and the very adventure formulaic. He sounds like a fun dude to hang around. I mean, what a happy person that guy is. But so that was that was one of the cool things about, again, sorry if you haven't seen Rogue One, but there is a scene in the movie where they're able to intersperse a film that was recorded for the original Star Wars film that they were able to put into a battle sequence, a space battle sequence, where you saw the same actors at the same age, because this takes place just before the events of the first movie, in their ships and in those, and it added a nice little bit of continuity. I think that it's not entirely seamless, but it was a really kind of sweet, unexpected touch to that part of the movie. The people who had very small parts, but as soon as you saw them, you're like, oh my God, how did they do that?
I saw it with Lee at a Star Wars event, and there was a cheer when those scenes came up, even after, I mean, this was weeks after, months after it had come out.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that was, it's fan service. We get it. But hey, give me more fan service. And in a way, this beer is that too. It's using a cultural touchstone to maybe get some people to pick up this beer who wouldn't normally pick it up. And I think that it does, yeah, they're playing real loose with copyright law on this, as in violating it horribly. But it is, and it's interesting to do it on this style. This is a beer that Star Wars fans are going to see sitting on the shelves and pick it up, who may have never tried the style of
beer
before.
That's true. Yeah, that is true.
And so that's going to be interesting to see how their adventure with this plays out, how long until that cease and desist comes. Do they just slap a mustache on him? Do they?
I kind of doubt they're brewing this again. I think that, you know, it's one of those probably like a one-off. And I guess if they made him pull them off the shelves, it would happen. But yeah, I don't think at this point they're gonna have any real. They're like, fine, we'll never do it again. No problem. Yeah I mean, I think they're fine.
All right. Well, Red 5 standing by from Revelry. Really nice take on the style, really unexpected, a fun bottle to pick up if you like Star Wars, if you like expanding your beer palates, if you like the style in general. It's, and you can get your hands on it before the lawyers come and take it.
Yep,
totally worth doing. Any final words, you guys?
Nope.
This is your last chance to speak.
No, I'm good.
Because
I'm just enjoying my beer.
Solid. All right. For more about us and Brew Drink Run, go to brewdrinkrun.com. You can do that to find out and read more about Keith's in-depth weekly beer reviews. His latest series have been really nice deep dives on specific beers. You get a lot of good information there if you're wanting to kind of learn more about, you know, how you can develop your own tasting notes, or really just get specific on how one person felt about a specific beer. It's a great way to do that. You can go to brewdrinkrun.com/beermail. If you're bad about remembering to check the website, you'll get it delivered to your inbox whenever those news stories come out, as well as the podcast. So that's a nice way to stay in touch. We are on Instagram, and we are on Twitter, and we are on Facebook, all at Brew Drink Run. Give us a follow. Give us a tag. Let us know about what's going on with your home brewing, with your running training, or any great beers that you've had and you think that we need to check out. You can also email us at team@brewdrinkrun.com. And you can call us at 781-76-DRINK, 781-763-7465. Come buy some stuff, t-shirts, running shirts, probably coffee mugs, I don't even know. Go to brewdrinkrun.com, click on the store link. Our theme music is provided by Morning Lights. Thanks for joining us, and may the force be with you.
And also with you.